Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, held incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, is with healing in his wings. While he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Would you pray with me? Lord, what a wonderful day to be gathered together in your name. What a wonderful time of year to be celebrating the birth of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for these that have come today to celebrate in song and to worship. Father, we pray that your presence would radiate among us, that we would have a fellowship of the Spirit that is deeply sensed among us, that we would listen to your doctrines as they flow through the songs that we sing today, that we would leave this place in the joy of your salvation. And we thank you so much for the opportunity and privilege to give to your kingdom, and help us to do so with cheerful hearts so that others may come to know the Savior as we have. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good news. Christmas is a season of glad tidings. Good news came to earth when an angel told the girl named Mary, "Don't be afraid. God has shown you his grace. You will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus."
An angel from long ago bent down to earth below, and to Mary whispered low, "Call his name Jesus." Fear not the words I say, God has favored you today. You shall bring forth a son and call his name Jesus.
Joseph learned that Mary was pregnant. He could have denounced her publicly or even had her stoned. But an angel brought him good news in a dream. "Don't be afraid. The child Mary is carrying is from the Holy Spirit. Call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." Next came news that meant Mary and Joseph would need to travel to Bethlehem to be taxed. One night in that small town crowded with other travelers, Joseph searched for a place for Mary to give birth. And the news came to a crowded inn and an unsuspecting innkeeper.
"Bethlehem was busy, strangers filled the town. All my rooms were taken, everyone was settled down. And Joseph came to knock, real famous. Thank you.
On the hills outside of Bethlehem, shepherds were guarding their sheep, when suddenly a messenger from heaven appeared and said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The sky plays with the life of angels and hosts as they proclaim. Glory to God in highest heaven, and on earth, peace with his favor men.
Joy, joy, unspeakable joy. Music is filling the air. Glory, oh glory to God. Messiah, our Emmanuel, Alpha, Omega, and King.
The hope of the ages at last has been born. Let's join all creation and sing. Joy, joy, unspeakable joy. Music is filling the air.
The stars in the sky look down. Christ the babe is Lord of all. Swift are we.
Scripture says that the miracle that took place in Bethlehem had been in the mind and heart of God from the foundation of the world. He knew every moment of the way He would rescue and reconcile us to Himself. As the plan unfolded, it was love, grace, and glory that made the night out of the world.
Holy night, the stars are brightly shining.
A thrill of hope, the
The story of the birth of Jesus is for everyone. It isn't a relic of the past. It isn't just for a certain nation or creed or social status. We're all invited into it. We're asked to respond to the words of the angel. Behold, I bring you good news.
Luke 2:17-20 says,
And when the shepherds had seen Jesus, they glorified and praised God. They spread the word, and all who heard it were amazed. After 2,000 years, it's still the same. When we hear the good news and our lives are changed by it, we go out to tell others. We carry it with us wherever we go. Salvation has come, and now heaven isn't just a place far away. Because of Christmas, heaven is destined to be home for us. That is news that we love to share.
There is a call from the heart of Jesus.
That was fantastic. Let's give it one more time for this choir today, y'all. Whew, man, that was good. We're going to do something revolutionary. We're going to read scripture in church. Luke chapter 2, you've heard it in song. And now what I want to do is I just want to read chapter 2 together, follow the transitions, and then we will go home here in just a few moments after some announcements and some reminders. One of the things that I do want to say before we read the text is I know that this time of year, for some, it is a very sad time of year. Can you amen that? Amen. It is. Lack of a spouse, a family member perhaps lost to death, or any type of tribulation that we go through as people, for some reason, seasonal times like this can amplify those times and those emotions, the sense of grief or whatnot. And what I would encourage you to do, just as your friend, as a pastor of the gospel, as a husband, as a father, I would encourage you to focus on Christ and the hope that we have in Him. Because darkness will come, feelings of darkness will come during these times because of various reasons and struggles that we have. But always open the Scripture and go to the Lord Jesus Christ with your burdens. And I promise you that the Holy Spirit will help you through them. Can you amen that, somebody? Amen. He will. This will be the second Christmas that I'm without my mother. She died October last year, or 2 years ago, excuse me. And it's been difficult. It's been difficult. I have no living relatives on my immediate side anymore. I've got some extended ones. So I know what it's like to go through Christmas not having your folks. And it can be a sad thing. But we focus. One of the great things about church is that when your biological family is gone, you always have a spiritual family in your church. Amen? Amen. That can help you along and be there for you and pray for you. And this is what the Scripture gives us in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a spiritual family that is there for you, that loves you. And we're not perfect. We do things that grieve you too, I'm sure, at times. But we do at least have a spiritual family that can walk with us through these times in our life. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, I'm just going to slowly read through the birth narrative today. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them regarding the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I would be in my father's house?" What an answer. Amen? What an answer. And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Now, of course, we know the story doesn't end there. Of course, we know the story continues. This little boy that was left at the temple that told his mother and father that this is where you should have known I would be, in a few years would grow up into a man. He would be baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. And he would live his life for 3 years. And he would teach his people God's ways, the Father's ways. And by and large, he would be rejected. And then eventually, he would go before the governing authorities of that day. He would go before the Sanhedrin, his own religious authority with his own people, and he would go before Rome. He would be rejected by both. He would be condemned by both. And he would go to a cross at Calvary at the hill called Golgotha. And this man, this God-man, 100% human, 100% God, would be crucified on a cross until he died, voluntarily giving up his life, his own life, as a ransom for many. And that same God-man would be taken down off that cross, and he would be put in a tomb for 3 days. And on the third day, they would go to that tomb looking for him, and he would not be found. He was risen from the dead. That's the gift that God offers you. That's the gift many of us have heard about since we were children. And regrettably, time and time and time again, that is the gift that so many thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people will reject. My hope for you this Christmas is my hope for you every Christmas, is the hope that I have for our family in Christmas season, is that this year, some way, somehow, we would get it right. Amen? That we would get it right. It's not about materialism. It's not about the new video game. It's not about the new clothes. It's not about the new shoes. Although some of those are necessities of life, some of them are. It's about a Savior that came, that lived, that died, and that lived again and that has given himself for the sins of the world, for my sins, for your sins, for the glory of God the Father. If there was ever a time that we need to evaluate how we live and evaluate our lives, evaluate how we speak, evaluate how we spend our time, evaluate how we spend our money, this is the test of all tests at Christmas time. The world would have you view Christmas in a very different way than the Scripture would have you view Christmas. How do we view Christmas? When poor people come into our midst, do we turn and walk the opposite direction, afraid that we're going to have to engage them and talk to them? Because we're so busy and trying to get all of our shopping done? Or do we take an extra 4 to 5 minutes to share the love of Christ with them? Because I can tell you right now, this is what God would have us to do. Amen. It's what God would have us to do. I'm as guilty of that as anybody, being in too big of a hurry, having to do this and having to do that, not taking 5 minutes to share the love of Christ with someone who is brokenhearted, needing to hear the hope of the gospel. Let us get this right this year, my brothers and sisters and friends. Let us get this right. Let's pray and close. There'll be no invitation. I'm just going to pray, and then I want to give some announcements, and we'll be dismissed. Okay, pray with me. Lord, we thank you so much for this incredible display and music of the gospel today. Father, I thank you for the commitment of our choir, of our instrumentalists, of our staff that work so diligently week in and week out in the midst of incredibly busy lives and schedules with family and ministry to make this presentation we have seen today possible. Lord, we pray that it has touched lives. We pray that we didn't just sit through this like just another cantata in another year, but we pray that we have listened. We pray that we have understood. We pray that the truths that have been represented in this music impact and change our lives. And Father, if there is someone here that maybe for the very first time they are sensing the conviction of your Holy Spirit upon their sinful heart, we pray that you would give them the gift of all gifts, and that is the gift of new life through belief in your Son, Jesus Christ. May it be so, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for this day and for this wonderful, wonderful cantata. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I've got a couple of announcements, and then we'll be dismissed. Randy, would you and Susan come up here? You know, every year, brother, we have to recognize you for all the work y'all do. And it's never enough, you know that, right? It's never enough. Never enough. But this is just a token. Let's sit over here in the middle.